Mark had taken turns carrying him, but it was only a matter of time before they made contact. Mark was dead. He knew that much for sure. He could only imagine what had become of the rest of the team. Then, on second thought, he would rather not. Now they sat in a concrete cell belonging to the Ramirez cartel, waiting. The Delta operator looked through the iron bars at the two guards lounged back in their chairs listening to the radio, rifles propped carelessly against the wall. It could be a while until his government negotiated terms of release with the cartel. As a soldier captured in the course of what was to be a covert operation, he had become the best political bargaining chip a criminal, terrorist, or dictator could ask for. He had become Khrushchev's Gary Powers, and there would almost certainly be a reckoning. Constantly drilled to objectively critique the performance of himself and his fellow soldiers from the beginning of his military career, Pat kept rehashing the events in his mind over and over again. What could he have done differently? No, he forced himself to concentrate on his current situation. They had to focus on escape. He turned his back to the guards as both of them looked up, eyes towards the corridor, leading deeper into the villa's basement. Someone down the hall was saying something in muffled Spanish.
"A worker is asking for help with a pool," J-Rod whispered. "Something is wrong with one of the pumps," he said, finishing the translation.
Once again, Pat damned the army for deciding he should learn Thai when he spent all his time in the Middle East and South America. One of the guards got to his feet, grumbling something that needed no translation, and headed down the corridor. Pat leaned back against the wall. It was more than just a little disconcerting that the drug lord had a small private prison under his villa. There were several other cells. The floor and walls stank with the blood and feces left behind by former inmates. This wasn't his first rodeo. If it came to that, and he couldn't find a way to escape, he'd be damned if he let a similar fate happen to himself or J-Rod. With his head down, a new guard came walking out of the corridor, his blue ball cap obscuring his face. Even though Pat had his watch confiscated by the cartel gunmen during his capture, he knew that the guards rotated in 2-hour shifts, this guy being about an hour early. The guard listening to the radio looked up at the newcomer and must have sensed that something was wrong. He attempted to get to his feet but never made it. The stranger struck first. With his hand creating a knife-cutting edge, he jabbed his fingers into the indentation under the guard's larynx, depriving the Colombian gunman of oxygen, Pat recognizing a basic Hatimi. With the guard already gasping for air, the stranger easily put him into a chokehold until he passed out. The newcomer locked the hold in place as the man's face turned blue. He didn't seem worried about the second guard coming back any time soon. Easing the corpse back down onto the chair, the stranger turned towards the prisoners.
"Deckard," Pat said, squinting his eyes. "Is that you?"
"Hey, Patrick," he replied, approaching the cell.
"Who the hell are you?"
J-Rod demanded.
"Where's the rest of the rescue team?"
"They called up the best and the brightest for you guys," Deckard replied. "But their risk mitigation worksheet had an improper heading on it. So they are still grounded on the tarmac at Fort Bragg. You got me instead."
"Who is this guy?"
J-Rod demanded.
"The guy who was available," Pat answered.
The younger Delta operator had been expecting an entire squadron of fellow Delta operators, backed up by a battalion of Army Rangers, not some guy wearing a Telvita ball cap.
"We need to hurry. The agency is jumping the gun and sending the Colombian military to crash the party. We only have a few minutes to clear the area. The guy with the cell keys is upstairs," Pat said, not wasting any time. "He opens the cell when they bring us food. Saw him down there an hour ago when the guard shift changed."
"What does he look like?"
"Curly hair, mustache. Today he's wearing jeans and Michael Jackson t-shirt."
Deckard looked at him sideways. Pat shrugged as a half-hearted response.
"The rest of the team?"
Pat shook his head.
"One dead. Don't know about the rest."
Nodding his understanding, Deckard turned towards the stairwell leading upstairs. There wasn't anything else to say. Leaving the dead behind was a tough pill to swallow, but intellectually Pat knew it was the only option. The Colombian military could recover the bodies later, even if he couldn't bring himself to say it out loud. Picking up a small shaving mirror that lay on the stool next to the radio, Deckard used it to peer up the stairs from behind cover, looking for signs of the enemy. Satisfied with what he saw, he moved up the stairs, M4 rifle leading the way.
"You know that guy?"
J-Rod asked while they waited helplessly in their cell.
"Yeah, we were in the same unit for a while."
"Who does he work for now?"
"What should I know?" Pat grunted. "And if he gets us out of here, I don't care."
Hearing a series of bumps, they turned to see